Prince Harry spent his life living in the shadow of his mother's tragic death. But when he falls in love, he realizes it's up to him to stop history from repeating itself. In our new series, Prince Harry, Windsor of Change, we'll tell you how a prince without direction became a duke who found a family.
Listen to Even the Rich on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap we just love to talk about here on Bravo. I'm Ben Mandelker. Joining me today is the one and only Ronnie Karam. Hi, Ronnie. How's it going today for Salt Lake City Day?
Good. How are you?
Oh my God, I'm so excited. You know why?
Why?
Because as our little musical jingle was playing, I realized that today is the day when all my Cyber Monday stuff is going to start rolling in, because we did a bonus episode, which again, I have to mention because I feel very guilty about this. It was supposed to be video. I forgot to hit record on the camera, where we were shopping Cyber Monday deals. And the whole bonus episode is up there on Patreon, patreon.com/watchforcrappens. And Ronnie and I bought all sorts of random bits and bobs. Let me speak for myself. I bought a lot of bits and bobs, like sewing machine needles and bobbins, but also pens and like random ass things. It's like I went to Staples or something. But today is the day they all start to come in, and I'm really excited, Ronnie.
Well, is your stuff coming in today? No, it's not coming in until like December 4th or 6th. Those are my delivery dates. I know, because Gross. Everybody has to go on Cyber Monday. That's it. You know what? Everybody, I'm glad that you're all in line ahead of me. Okay, I have to wait for my beet blood pressure candy. And I also have to wait for my new jogging pants.
Well, luckily the bobbin lobby is very strong, and they have pushed for fast delivery on the bobbins. So my bobbin case is arriving today, I believe.
Bobbin lobby.
I know, bobbin lobby. So we're really excited. Oh, actually, I continue to make purchases after Cyber Monday. This is shocking, but I went to Target and I bought a new friend, Ronnie. I bought a new friend who'll be joining us here on the podcast. Because this is where I'm at in my life.
Okay.
I haven't named my friend. I think I'm going to name my friend Allison, because just the way Allison Dubois can help people see the future, my friend Allison's just going to help me see the words on my screen. I have readers.
Oh, no. You got readers? Oh, my gosh. You look very handsome in them.
Thank you. Allison is here to help me.
Oh, my gosh. You make sense in glasses.
I'm actually surprised they should
always have been there, and they're a good style for you too. They're not just old man readers. You know, those are very fashionable. You need to be careful what's on your screen though, because
I know. Don't look at any porn while we're doing this, because it'll just show up in the reflection of my readers.
Or I can tell if you're texting. I mean, I'm gonna know. Wait,
can
everything.
You? Let's see.
I can.
Now we can see. You can sort of see. Yeah.
Sort of. Hold on. I'm going to. Why am I telling you? I could totally be spying.
No,
on
it's great though.
Doing.
The reflection means that you can't really see where my eyeballs are looking. So I could be looking to the left and you're thinking I'm looking to the right. I'm not sure that I'm going to use. I don't know if I actually necessarily need the readers for the screen, but I have to say, gosh, this looks. I feel like I'm in a spaceship now. Everything just feels bigger and beautiful. It's wonderful.
Well, you look very handsome in your readers.
Thank you. I spent $19.99 on them. They have a nice. They have, actually, you know what's great?
That's actually a very nice reader that you got. It's very fancy. Most readers are like $2.
Well, I was hoping it would be $2, but Target only sells them for $20, apparently. But actually, they're Crappens blue on the inside. I don't know if you can see.
Oh my gosh, those are really readers. I can see the magnification on those.
It's a 1.25. And I have to say, one thing that's really hard is when you take them off, there is like a 2-second adjustment. And that is weird to me. So anyway, back on, I don't know if I want to call it, I'm not going to call them Allison. I think Allison's not that's not a Ben name to name things. I feel like they're more of a Dana. I feel like I've become a Dana when I wear them. I mean, am I a Dana? Maybe I'm like a.
I think something more manly. I think you're gendering your glasses, and I feel like you're more like businessmanish.
Clint,
you know, Clint. Yeah, I like Clint. Well, Clint's more cowboy.
So when I put them on, I become okay.
So
when I put them on, do I become? Are we naming the glasses or my persona?
Well, I don't know. Is it like a wig? I think the wig. You name the wig, right? Not the persona.
You know, I'm naming the wig. Okay, so this is David.
Clayton. David.
David. I'm putting David on.
Okay, let's keep David.
We'll figure it out.
All right. Well, for anyway, the rest of the show, we needed readers because it was a supersized day for us. Not because the episode was supersized. It sure wasn't. This is Real Housewives of Salt Lake City today, by the way. I don't know if we mentioned that. But also, we did not do Below Deck Med this weekend because we've just got too many things on the schedule. And we're about to enter Christmas holiday hell with recapping, doing guest things, and getting prepared for that week. So we didn't do it. But we are going to talk about it today. So when Below Deck last, if you don't want to listen to this, don't. I mean, I don't care. I'm not going to try and force anybody.
Fast forward
just
10
fast
minutes.
Forward a little bit. Yeah, fast forward.
You know
10,
how to use your controls. You're an adult. You live in 2023. You know how to press fast forward. If you know how to listen to a podcast, you know how to press fast forward. But yeah, Below Deck. We were really excited for Below Deck because we're like, yes, we're going to see Kyle's face when he gets fired by Captain Sandy.
But we kind of sensed that he was not going to get fired because we've seen what happens on this show when you just fire the dramatic people. Nothing happens. Yeah. That's what, you know, you just watch people clean for the rest of the time. You know, as evil and horrible as Kyle is, I guess he's necessary. He's a necessary evil.
Yeah. He's maybe for like TV, he's a necessary evil. He's probably an unnecessary evil for many people's lives. And I watched, there was a video from BravoCon that was actually going around where someone from, I think, TV Line was interviewing cast members. And Natalia is still not friends with Kyle. She's like, absolutely not. Oh, like, he's not a friend. He's definitely not a friend. And then Toomey is like, who's Kyle? So Toomey is obviously not a fan of Kyle. And then Kyle is wearing, he's got like this big look for BravoCon. He's got like oversized epaulets and this sort of bolero jacket thing and like a little bit of like a vermilion epaulets lip.
I mean, that is that's putting it too small. He's got like some light denim
candles
thing with zippers all over it. And then he's the epaulets, I guess that's what they were. I didn't really realize that was an homage to epaulets, but they're like huge circles that like flare out. He looks like
a harness.
If Taylor Swift was going to do a throwback album to commemorate an anniversary of that musical about trains, what was Starlight Express? He looked like a Starlight Express train from the 80s.
Starlight Depress. That's what it is. I hate to even use the word star when it comes to Kyle because it just feels unfair.
Well, Starlight works, right? It's like Diet
Star Fright,
you know?
Starfright Depress.
He's he's a ridiculous human. I saw that interview and they're like, so Kyle, the interviewer's like, Kyle, come on now, do you think you made a little drama this season? He's like, well, let me tell you something, all right, about drama. Other people try to come for me, but guess where I'm not? Where the other people are coming to, okay? And that's where I'm not gonna be. I was like, oh my god, how does this guy get the feedback he gets for this show and just turn it up? I mean, the guy just comes back even more obnoxious. It's like, wow, this onion is too pungent. Really? Grow it with even more pungent onions. Make it the stinkiest onion we could. Why am I thinking of farming onions? I don't know. That's what Kyle's doing to me.
Yeah, and then of course he pulls this thing, which is like, you know, when I shared that text message, I was just trying to be helpful. And, you know, I've learned from going forward, I'm just not going to ever share things. I'll just have to keep it to myself. Like, he does the whole thing like, well, I was trying to help. And of course it gets turned against me and da-da-da-da-da, you know, blame the messenger and I'll just stay out of it. You were not trying to help. You were trying to actively pit people against each other. You poisoned the well with Toomey and Natalia. I believe we both firmly believe that before Toomey got on the boat, Kyle probably talked so much shit about Natalia. You know that he talked shit about Natalia because we saw him talk shit about Natalia while they were on the boat when they were still ostensibly friends. He poisoned Toomey. So Toomey comes in like, okay, I've got to be like really hard with Natalia because otherwise she's going to get out of control. And then that sends Natalia off. And then he just keeps on giving each one of them information that agitates both of them against each other. So he's just such a piece of shit. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
You know?
So now, one thing that Kyle has always done is he's not one of those people who can just be on reality TV and be like, let the peasants talk. You know what I mean? A lot of the housewives and stuff we've met over the years were like, oh my God, everyone hates you. How do you handle this? Mm-hmm. These are our backstage conversations with pretty much everybody. Because, you know, anybody that we befriend in real life ends up getting canceled. So We've had this conversation with so many Bravo people. Like, oh my God, the world hates you. How are you dealing with it? And they're like, I don't read that shit. You know, they're like, you read it at first and then you let the peasants do their thing. They're allowed to talk about me. If I started changing it, what would they talk about? You know, they have this like, now do I believe it? No, not really. I think that they all sit there all night freaking crying and like telling your husband to call the manager, like my mom, you know, like you better do something about this. Or like Vicky Gumbelson, you better call the internet, Andy Cohen, you better tell the internet to stop it. So I don't believe it, but that's what they say. Kyle cannot do that is my point. I needed 10 minutes to say that sentence, but Kyle cannot do that. There was a post with the Below Deck Med mid-season trailer, and Kyle just has to comment. He has to like go start arguing with everybody who doesn't like him, which is everybody, pretty much. Everyone. So first, yeah. Chef Jack comments, apparently I'm not on the second half of the season. Sexy as I am. And then Kyle the Bold.
Yeah.
I can't. Kyle the Bold. Kyle the Bold says, Chef Jack Luby, want to trade places? Because all you ever see is me crying or being angry. Oral.
Well, that's because that's all you ever do. And now, one thing I really liked about this episode is that, like, Jack is mad at Kyle. And he's just like, I'm just not going to talk to this person. And that's the best thing that you can do for Kyle is just you just don't give him anything. And it's going to make Kyle go crazy because Jack's just ignoring him. And Kyle doesn't know what to do with it. And I love the way Jack handles Kyle.
Oh, I have more comments to read. I'm so sorry. But
oh, I'm sorry.
Someone says, I guess Kyle didn't get fired, so he'll continue to bully people and get away with it. And he says, yup. And then someone says, how narcissistic of you. Hope you get the help you obviously need. And he goes, thank you for your deflection. Kissy face. I mean, he answered, I've got 11 pages of Kyle. Just let it go, dude. Okay. Yeah. Also, that shit. Just stop reading about it and be glad that people are giving you this much attention because you so obviously need it. Okay, now on to the episode. Sorry.
He lives for it. And it's interesting because last season he kind of like rode that line between being like, is he a villain or is he actually great? And like, you can't tell because he would go up and down. But this season it's like, no, you are actually a monster. Our instincts were correct. You are terrible. So so Sandy does the Fraser thing, which is something that we did predict might happen, which is she says, right now, I don't want you on this boat. You're one of the worst people I've ever seen. You are like a human anchor, and I'm surprised we are not in Davy Jones' locker right now, sunken by you. You're a pox on humanity and shouldn't be on this boat. So what I'm trying to say is, I'll give you one more chance.
Yeah. Hugs. You know what you need? You know what you need? Some help. And you know who's a helper? Me, Captain Sandy. You know, let me prescribe something for you as your doctor. Okay, your captain doctor. Hugs and naps. Okay, let's start with your first prescription. Get over here. So are you worse than all the pirates that I had to beat on that cruise ship in Somalia when I was working for Saddam? Sure. What did they need? Hugs. Guess what they didn't get? Hugs. Mostly because I was just trying to protect the gold that was on the ship. Just too busy to hug because my arms were doing this over the treasure chests. But guess what? No treasure chests here. Get over here and give me a hug, you little rat bastard.
Not only am I the captain now, I'm also the hugger. So get over here. So then Kyle, of course, then goes downstairs. He's like, I'm going to resign. You know, it's like, I don't even want to be here anymore. It's just here, but I can't be here like this. So, of course, he starts to pack up his stuff.
Yes, of course. And the second he gets any pushback, I'm leaving. I've been bullied by the captain. It's like,
So Toomey's like, come on, please stay. Toomey's like, I'm not going to do this with two people. Right. She's like, I don't care if it's Kyle, but please stay. Which is, I think,
Natalia, by the way, has just quit. Did we even mention that? I mean, that happened last week, but
Natalia
for anybody new to this, Natalia quit because he was so bad. And by the way, Natalia is an emotional terrorist herself. That girl's not easy either. I mean, she's awful as well. It's not like she's so innocent, but I mean, she couldn't even take it. And she's the worst. I mean, usually, just by her history on this show, she will go on that date on Valentine's Day and wait to order dessert, and then the guy gets up and leaves her. Like, that's that's her history. So for her to change the pattern to this degree, where she's like, I'm out early, that's saying a lot. That's how bad he is.
Yeah. And the thing is this, like, given that they're both toxic people, at least Natalia has a work ethic. So it would have been better for Kyle to be the one to leave the boat and Natalia to stay, because I do actually think Natalia and Toomey would have gotten along without Kyle there. But Kyle just makes everything just so poisonous.
No!
So
anyway,
but of course they convince him to stay. They convince him to stay.
Tonight.
I've just taken on so much of so many other people's problems, like Natalia. It's like I take on so much because I'm like a sponge, and like I just can't do it anymore.
I'm such an empath.
So then meanwhile we have Max. So Max wants to quit the boat because he's not getting boners. That's literally what his storyline is. He's like, I'm not getting erections. I have no Eiffel Tower, so I think I'm going to leave the boat.
And Captain Sandy's like, you know who I like? You, Max. That's who. You know why? You're funny. I like funny people. Laughing is like hugging with vocal waves, sound waves. I like that you can do that. I feel very hugged by you. And he's like, I'm leaving. I get no boner. She's like, what? You can't leave? Hold on. I'll do the helicopter. Just tell me whatever I need to do.
Hey, Jack, you have any linguine I can spin around?
So I'll start saying French fries again. Okay, now listen. Ever since France was being a little stingy with their help after 9/11, you know, America's called them freedom fries. And I haven't really changed that. But now I'm making a stance against it. I'll call them French fries again. Whoa, I just got a stiff one. French fry, Max. That is. Got a double French fry.
Oh, this one was double fried. Nice. Max, you know what? For you, I'm going to get out my old candlestick costume and you can sing be our guest. Would that make you happy?
He's like, I cannot get boner, I'm out. So and Kyle has a couple of funny sayings in this too. Kyle's, I don't think we've ever picked on Kyle's butchering turn of phrases, but he had some doozies today.
He had one that was,
well, guess what? You've just opened a book of worms.
Yeah, a book of worms. That was my favorite. It's a book of worms. You better watch out. You thought it was just a book of pages, but guess what? You open it up, it's worms.
So as you said, people are now onto Kyle. Like, they've been kind of onto him, but they've been nice to him anyway because, I don't know, just because. But Jack has put up with his shit. Jack is now officially sick of him because he's the only one who seems to care that Natalia left. No one else really
cares.
/
noticed. Yeah.
Yeah. So he cares, and Toomey is finally is on to Kyle. She's like, okay, this guy's obviously a piece of shit, so I need to stop standing up for this guy. So everybody's kind of on to Kyle, and it is making him insane. So like you said, Jack is not telling him off or doing anything like that, but he did disagree with Kyle openly. And so now Kyle has a thing against him. So now Jack is just being quiet with him, and Kyle's like, oh, really? You want to be quiet with me? Well, they say silence is different. Well, this silence speaks volumes.
Yeah, like that's the point.
They didn't. That's what it means. It doesn't mean silence is deaf. And even if it did, that would just mean silence can't hear. It doesn't mean that it can't
speak.
That
means silence is silence. This is the point, is that silence is so loud you can't hear. It's like it's saying so many
For
words.
Fuck's
you can't
sake, hear you're even butchering the butchered version of the butchered phrase.
I'm so glad you pointed out both those things, because I did pause at both those moments and say exactly what you said to Dom. I was like, you know, he doesn't even realize that expression actually means this. But Kyle, of course, he is very insecure, and when he doesn't get Kyle needs to be a star and hilarious and charming, and he needs people to be laughing and sort of like being like, Kyle, you're hilarious. And when he doesn't get that, he really spirals, which is why he didn't want to do that all women's charter, because he knows, he could tell his humor was not going to land the same way as it would with different groups. And so he is very insecure in those situations. And so now when Jack isn't giving him anything, when he's sitting there in the kitchen and Jack is ignoring him, that makes Kyle feel a certain sort of way. So you also know that it's only going to be a matter of time before Kyle starts lashing out at Jack to make like Jack the bad guy for not like being entertained by Kyle.
Well, he's also unable to function without something to hate. Now, listen, yes. I get this. I kind of have this as well. I know it's a problem. Sad. I work on it, kind of. By work on it, I mean admit it, but then just keep going on doing the same shit that I always do. Yeah. That's what I call growth. But I do kind of have that problem. But Kyle has to have some kind of adversary. Mine, I choose them to be on TV. So that's kind of how I deal with it. I don't have adversaries in real life. If anyone is adversarial, I just don't speak to them ever again. That's how I deal with that. But I still have the emotion in me, so I pick someone on TV. This case, it's Kyle. Like, he's never going to do anything that's not going to make me crazy.
K names are a challenge for you. Kyle, and Katie. It's hard.
That's true, actually. They're probably all the most similar to my actual personality in different ways, which is also, you know, a book of worms. I don't think anybody needs to open right now. That book of worms. Listen, you don't want to read those worms.
But you like Kate Chastain. She's a K that you can get behind.
And I like her too. So she's the part of my better personality that I like, you know? Okay, so anyway, not about me, but it is always. And that's another thing I need to work on. Okay.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
It's almost that magical time of year.
Speaking of, what's your favorite Christmas story, Ben?
Hands down, The Grinch.
Same.
It cracks me up that he hates all the merriment.
Right, and he steals everyone's presents.
But then it's like so heartwarming at the end when like the whole town is still singing and he realizes that there's more to Christmas than just gifts.
Oh, I know. It hits me right in the feels.
Best part is, Wondery has a new podcast starring The Grinch. And I think there's someone who wants to tell you more about it, Ronnie.
Hi, it's me, the Grand Poobah of Bah Humbug, the OG Green Grump, The Grinch. From Wondery, 'Tis the Grinch Holiday Talk Show is a pathetic attempt by the people of Whoville to use my situation as a teachable moment. So join me, the Grinch. Listen as I launch a campaign against Christmas cheer, grilling celebrity guests like chestnuts on an open fire. Your family will love the show. As you know, I'm famously great with kids.
Follow 'Tis the Grinch Holiday Talk Show on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So he needs somebody to hate or he can't survive. Like, he needs to physically be able to talk shit about somebody. And here we go. Jack stuck up for what's her buns, Natalia. And so he's immediately after Jack. And that's just it. Right. And guess what? The new person comes in. She's a ding dong. Hilarious ding dong, by the way.
She's like
and
a...
He's automatically like, against her.
Yeah. Lily is like if you took Naomi from Southern Charm and like pressed her up against glass, you know? And she comes in and she's like, she's acting like she is like a whiz at hospitality.
It took me a minute to get the visual completed in my head. I'm a very slow vision person. Naomi from Southern Charm with her face pressed up against the glass. Wow.
So, the point is that she's acting like she's like a whiz in hospitality. She's like, yeah, I've done a lot of hospitality. Yeah, I've been a manager at Wimbledon. Yeah.
And yeah, don't worry about me. I've worked at Wimbledon.
And we see she's like someone like, she's like bringing sodas to people's chairs at Wimbledon. She's acting as if she was like in charge of Roger Federer's locker room. And she's like bringing, you know, like mushy peas to the third row.
I know. They're like, Lily, would you do some ironing? And she's like, peanuts, popcorn, Cracker Jacks, peas.
I worked for the Queen. Actually, I was her royal consort. And you find out she's just like working at like a donut shop called Queen's Donuts or something.
Yeah, she's like, I grew up near Windsor Castle, so I know service.
It doesn't work like that. It's not through osmosis. It's okay. The butlers up in the castle, like just because you're near them, that their service skills don't go through the gates. But she's fine.
Yachting is having the same problem that Cost Plus World Market by my house is having. They just can't find young people to work. No one will do it. I'm like, Cost Plus, how are you still hiring? I mean, they're putting out trays of cookies at this point. They're like, anybody want a job? Like, you walk into the store, they're like, it's a job fair. It's not a job fair. It's a table with some cookies on it at the Cost Plus for 6 months in a row. Maybe you should pay people more, Cost Plus World Market. I don't know what's happening, but that's the same in yachting. They can't keep anyone. They're basically like, this is it. Natalia's gone, so we just took a girl throwing peas at people's head on the dock.
So she comes on. She's very British. And I fall for it because I'm like, she's British, so the accent already makes her seem austere to me. And then she says she worked at Wimbledon. So I'm like, oh, she knows everything there is to know about yachting. And so she's on board. And then we have our charter guests. It's a bunch of ladies. The main lady, her whole thing is that she doesn't eat eggs outside. She refuses to have eggs outdoors. And Jack is like,
yeah.
He's like, what happened to her? How'd you find out that you don't like eggs outdoors? Like, what did you do? How'd you find out? How'd that happen? I don't understand how that happened.
The guests, I was glad we didn't cover the episode. I hate the guests. I hate them. They're just so, like, typical. I think they've watched a lot of Below Deck, and they're like, we're going to be like Below Deck people. I don't like my eggs outside. And you know what we should do? We should get the guys to strip because we're cougars.
Oh, right.
You know what we're going to need? We're going to need the guys to strip. I'm like, oh, God, just very get rid of these ladies. Yeah.
They, you know. And when we do see her eating the eggs, and she says she can't eat them outside because the flavors from the outdoors air just create a very bad taste in her mouth with the eggs. So she goes, I've got to take my eggs indoors. So she goes into the bar area, which is like 3 feet from the outdoors. It's the same. I guarantee the air that's in there is going to have the same flavors as the air that was outdoors. I'm just going to go out on a limb and say that. But I was on their side about one thing, which is that when they come on, they are just like sitting and they're relaxing and they're in the sun and they're just like having a chill time on the deck. And then everyone's like, Sandy's like particularly upset that they're not using the water toys. And everyone's like, I mean, you're basically on like a water taxi. I think it's Lara's like, you're basically on a water taxi. And I'm like, to me, that sounds great. Like, I don't need a water toy. Put me someplace in the sun where you're bringing me food and drinks and I can like just like read something or like be on my iPad. Like, that is like the best for me.
That's and vacation. That's how I do it. I barely even leave the room. And they're like, why would you come on vacation without leaving the room? Because there's different places to order DoorDash from. And when I open the window, there's something different outside. That's literally it. I don't care about anything else.
So then Sandy comes out. She's like, come on, guys. You got to go. You got to do the slide. You got to do the water toys. You got to do this. If I were a deckie, I'd be so mad at Sandy because she's basically like forcing them to do work that the guests don't want to do. But then also if I was a guest, I'd be like, leave me alone. I am an adult. I know what is at my disposal and I've decided to do this. This is all good. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, don't fix me. How about you don't go fucking me. Drive the boat, okay? Yeah. Like, I don't need you to fix me.
Bring me food.
Yeah, I agree. You paid a lot more attention to them than I did. They got on my nerves right away. And then they were just blurs. They were basically, I would describe them as human face filters. They were just all crazy faced. They look like different Snapchat filters. Each and every one of them looked like a crazy damn face filter. And I did not care. So
yeah, they were very generic. But then I think the only big thing that I can remember happening left in the episode, and there may be other things, so correct me, was at the end of the episode. The charter was actually a quick charter. It was a one-day charter. I don't even remember it. It was like, was there even a charter? It was so quick and so generic and so uninteresting. The only thing was that eggs thing. They're there and then they're gone. And then the crew goes out to dinner. And Lily is sitting next to Jack and they're chatting and they're both British. So they're both like making like jokes about being British or whatever and banter. And what was Jack saying that like, I think they were joking that their banter is the best. Was that what they were saying?
He said, she said, I can do a lot of accents because she was doing an American Valley Girl accent. Well, she could do it really well. She's really funny.
She didn't go Southern. So, I was impressed.
Yeah, I like her a lot. So she was doing that, and then he's like, can you do my accent then? Can you do that? And she's like, well, yeah, I'm going to do it. Basically, like us trying. And he's like, I'm not Irish,
harder,
am I?
Harder. That's us.
And she said, well, she said something along the lines of like, well, I can't do your accent. I can't do that one. But we do have a lot of in common in that our banter is the best. Like where we're from, our banter is the best. Like sarcasm and stuff.
Right. It's like that British, Kyle dry British humor the table. Right there.
Right. And then Kyle's across the table and he hates Jack already. Right. So he's waiting to come for Jack. And by the way, Jack already knows. Jack has said before dinner, like, oh, I can tell Kyle's getting ready to come for me. I can't wait to see what fucking Kyle does. And sure enough, Kyle's like, oh, really? Your banter's the best. So the rest of us just have short banter. Is that what you're saying? Oh, my God. Was that? I'm sorry that was trying to whisper. Because that silence was heard over here, all right? Well, you're trying to be deaf silence, all right? You think you're over there doing sign language silence, but I can hear it.
So you really think that your banter's better than us? Well, it sounds like you really opened up a book of worms on that front with your allegedly good banter.
Worm burgers. So he's getting attitude. This girl does not give a shit. And I feel like that's very rare because Kyle squints his eyes and he starts doing his like finger wagging bullshit at her and getting mean. And listen, as bitchy as I am on this show, if that happened to me in real life, I would immediately do whatever the other person wanted. Like, I'm a wimp in real life.
No, your banter's the best.
But yeah, I know. I'm like, no, we meant beside you, gay person. But, nope, she did not give a shit. She just laughed at him, like kind of in his face, and gave him a look like, is this queen really going to come for me? And I thought it was great. I was like, great casting.
And he was also, by the way, condescending to her while on her first charter. She doesn't know what she's doing. And he's like, she's cleaning something. And then he's being like, no, what you have to do is you have to put this and then put this in the stock. What I'm trying to say, then I'll take it all up together at once. Blah, blah, blah. He was like really coming down on her without like really showing her any sort of like grace for the fact that this is like the first time she's ever touched a washing machine, basically. So yeah.
she doesn't know how to do anything. Like, I could see how that would be annoying, but he's doing that typical thing where it's like, okay, I'm gonna show you. You don't know how to use an iron. And I'm like, God, this bitch doesn't know how to use an iron. Like,
she's very green.
But then he's doing that thing where he's overly nice to her face so he can immediately the next episode be like, I was so kind to you.
So, the point is, now we're 30 minutes in talking about Below Deck. So it wasn't just 10 minutes, but there was stuff to talk about. It was funny episode. Kyle did not get fired. Really bummed about that. Mid-season trailer dropped, although it's late season trailer. Only 6 episodes left. Lots of messiness to come. So Below Deck Med doing the Below Deck Med thing and fun times.
Oh, what a look good at Bueller. Boy. Let's Bueller's just take like, a moment and pet him on his neck. And honestly, say, guys, wow, you are my good little baby. Look at that guy.
Guys, honestly, like if you're not watching Crappens on Demand, like I don't want to be a used car salesman right now, but like you really are missing out on all this great Bueller content.
Oh my gosh, look at his tummy. Almost scratches his tummy right now. Oh my
And right before
God,
then, he got
that.
Onto the sofa and he was pawing at the cushion.
Oh,
look at
almost
him.
Scratches chest. It's like I really am scratching. It's funny, huh?
He is
wow.
so
scratching
cute.
His chest now, and I'm going to scratch his oh right under his chin. Oh my God. Over. Okay, so that was a nice little break between the shows. Now let's get on to Real Housewives of Salt Lake City.
Real Housewives of Salt Lake City, and it opens with Angie K folding a napkin. She's in her gleamingly white house. Folding a napkin, and so
I'm Greek. Her house looks like a public bathroom. It looks like a hotel men's room.
Her house looks like a spaceship that has landed and is looking for gas to leave the planet again.
It's just the marble it's walls, just, you know, it just reminds, like, are there a lot of handprints from dudes just leaning up there and peeing?
It's what I always imagine the lounge room looks like, or the employee lounge room looks like for like the Apple store. I'm like, what does it look like back there? You know, like it's this just like gleaming white, shiny.
I
surfaces.
Have a feeling the employee room at the Apple store is just not even floor. It's just like grass and then flies everywhere on the people's faces. And I think that the second they get back there, Apple doesn't give a fuck.
No, they definitely don't. But yeah, and it definitely, Angie's house is definitely very restroom forward. It has like, it has that airy sound, like a restroom in like a casino, like the Bellagio, where you walk in and everything's like still super marble in there and they're still trying to impress you. And echoey. And you can sort of hear the sound of a dryer going every now and then.
So Heather comes over and they're doing the, oh my God, your house is so pretty. Oh my God, you are so pretty. I'm Greek. And Heather's like, what about that Pioneer Day, huh? She's like, to Pioneer Day. What a fun event you made, Heather. And she's like, well, yeah, we can sure use a drink after that. Mm-hmm. I mean, when did that even go left? When Lisa kicked Monica off her wagon? That was good. That was a good game. Take that, Lisa Rinna. Take that, big dog.
Yeah, I think it went left when you asked an instigating question that you knew would cause a fight between the two of them. That's probably when it went left. That's like literally, that's like driving your car and making a left-hand turn and saying, when did this go left? It's like literally when you made it go left. So
I love a Cookie Monster housewife, though. By that, I mean like someone who just loves the mess that they're making. You know how Cookie Monster just eats the cookie and then the cookie just flies all over the room? Mm-hmm. It's kind of like Austin from Southern Charm.
Yes.
But figuratively, I mean, I just love that.
Yeah. So Angie's like, well, the minute that we started the wagon game, I mean, I think it set her off. It was like she came in hot, you know, again with the insults. Plus, when you mention wagons, it just reminds her about the car that she doesn't have. So, you know.
Do not mention wagons. You know, the minute we started a wagon thing, Sean has requested that I not ride him further. So we just got a bigger wagon. Our wagon now is the size of a city block now. I feel lonely in my wagon. What were we talking about, Opa? Angie said.
Sad Opa. So Heather's like, you know, and then at like some moment, she completely shut down. It was weird. I don't understand why Heather is so shocked that someone would be very exasperated and then eventually just be like, fuck it. I'm not engaging with these people anymore. I'm just going to get through this horrific lunch for me. But Heather like doesn't understand this because later on in the episode, when Whitney is mourning, Heather's like, just compartmentalize. It'll be fine. So like that's the way Heather gets through life, is that she just like, if she has a feeling of like sadness, she just tucks it away and cries late at night when the cameras are not there, clearly.
I call that maturity. I mean, that's what I do. What am I going to do? Just lose my... You can't just go losing your shit. You can't just walk around telling everybody to fuck off. That's what your inside voice is for.
No, but I just love that Heather was so distraught by the fact that Monica became quiet. She seems more distraught that Monica became quiet and sad than that Monica was mouthing off. She was happy with Monica mouthing off.
Well, that's when you should get worried, right? When somebody starts mouthing off and they just get quiet because you know they're done. Dun, dun, dun. So she's like, yeah, she was shut down. And then Angie's like, yes, you know, she just got so... She came in hot with the insults, and then we see the clip of her being like, you are so nasty on the inside. You are so ugly! Agreed, but Angie, didn't you just call someone a trampoline with eyes, like, 2 weeks ago?
Yeah, let's not forget literally every scene with Angie. So Heather's like, I'm starting to realize you never know what you're going to get with Monica. She can be happy and charming and fun. And we see and she's like, this is all highlighted with clips. And then angry and vicious and mean. And then just like detached and vacant. And as much as I don't want to do it, I'll do it. Kind of reminds me of Jen. So then we see a Jen Shaw montage that illustrates all these points, which is funny because they're both using Jen against each other. Heather's saying that Monica reminds her of Jen, and then Monica's saying that Jen always said, like, oh, be careful of Heather and Lisa. So like they're both going back to Jen to sort of like shore up their arguments for why they're going to have a fallout at some point.
Right, they're all using Jen as a weapon. I agree that she is like Jen. She's a lot like Jen. She's a more palatable Jen.
She's like a fun Jen.
It's like the chefs of this show went back and they're like, okay, let's listen. We don't want to do it without Jen. We have to, though. But while we're doing it, let's improve it. Let's improve the recipe.
Yeah.
I think she's much improved version of Jen, because Jen was really a tryhard. Like, she, I mean, yeah. Monica's a little tryhardy, but I forgive some of the tryhardiness because it's her first season. You know what I mean? It's like she's training wheels. But Jen was just really unbearable to me. She's always made me crazy. So, overall, I think much improved. Much improved.
Jen really, like, Jen wanted to actually have the really engaging trauma of Monica. Because, you know, with Monica, we see her with her mom. We hear about her backstory, her various backstories. So, like, when she pops off and when she has mood swings, like, I feel like we understand it. Like, we understand, like, oh, God, this woman has had a lot of damage in her life. And, like, this is how it all comes out. So it makes sense. And it's not to say that Jen doesn't have that. But with Jen, well, Jen just see her at, like, level 10 at all times. And you're like,
With Jen, you're like, she has caused a lot of damage. Like, we see Monica with her mother and we're like, ooh, that's fucked up. But we see Jen with her mother and we're like, oh, my God, Jen is literally using her mom's savings.
Yeah.
When she knows she's guilty. Like, what the fuck? Like, she's the one, she's the wrecking ball, you know?
Yeah.
Monica and her mom are both wrecking balls. They're like one of those big, what are those things that sit on desks where there's like balls swinging at each other?
Yeah, it's like the infinite movement, something or another. Yeah.
Yeah, one ball hits the other ball and they just keep doing that in a rhythm and that's just how it is. And just, you're like, how are they still just beating each other like that? But yeah. It's how they're built. Okay, it's just how the balls are built.
Yeah, it really is true. They're ball bearings. So basically, Heather's like, I'm just drawn like a moth to a flame.
Like me on a Friday night. Ball bearing. I come bearing balls, boys. Stupid. Sorry. Go ahead. I don't know.
Wow. Well, like I was saying before, I was rudely interrupted with images of testicles arriving at my doorstep. I'm drawn like a moth to a flame to these personality types and to these ball bearings. I've been burned, and I want to learn from my history and not make the same mistakes again.
I can't believe I just spoke like that to someone with glasses.
I know, Ronnie. This is an intellectual podcast now. I've got glasses on. You have to, like, really be less vulgar. Okay. Terry Gross is going to be our guest host next week.
Gross. Commercials. Here comes one right now. Okay, so they are still talking about Monica, so are we, 9 hours later, and how she reminds her of Jen, and then we see clips of Jen, 1 minute pouring alcohol all over herself on the bike bus thing on a group trip, and then screaming, right. Fuck Mary Cosby, and walking off sobbing on a golf course, like, what about me? But what about me?
So Heather's basically like, oh my God, I always jump in head first with these relationships, but I don't want to have Pioneer Day part 2 in Bermuda. I'm like, of course you do. You're about to go on your first international cast trip. You want this to be as iconic as possible. Okay. Like, this is when it happens on the international cast trips, when all the mess happens. This is your moment, Heather. Like, you want Pioneer part 2, part 3, and part 4 all at the same dinner.
Yeah, which of course she does want it, right? So yeah. Andrew's like, but she has a pattern. She comes in hot and then she apologizes. We should still go on the trip, but you should call her first and let her call you ugly a few times to maybe get it out of her system.
So Heather's like, well, I'm sure I'm going to see her at Meredith's jewelry event. Oh, the one I am not invited to, the anti-OPA event, the one I've heard all about. Everyone's invited except for me, which is fine. Let me know how it goes. I'm really curious.
So Heather's like, the trip is hanging in the balance. Truly. So then we go to Whitney and Justin driving their Tesla in matching Gucci knockoff t-shirts from Canal Street. I can't with these people. Like, seriously. Yeah. Why are they doing this? Why?
They've just gone to therapy. And Whitney's like, sometimes I feel like therapy help. Like, does therapy help? Or does it make it worse? And he's like,
let me help you. You are wearing matchy knockoff Gucci t-shirts from Canal Street. You're meant to be together. Okay. That is a douche level that it's hard to find another piece. Like, it's hard to like match somebody's douche meter. You have matched it. Congratulations. That's it.
By the way, there was a moment on Below Deck Med when the women were walking around Portofino. Oh, we forgot to mention about 30% of the episode was Sandy backing in and out of Portofino. It's like a New York City street, but with boats. But there's one moment the ladies were walking around and the primary goes, it's not Gucci, it's Pucci. So I was wondering, does she not know that Pucci is a thing? Does she think that Pucci is a knockoff Gucci? I would like to know more context about that comment.
That what was is just, Pucci?
It's just another designer. It's a famous legitimate like designer, but I wasn't sure if this woman didn't know about Pucci or was
crunching
her friend.
I don't think she did.
We'll just say she did.
She's like, ew, Pucci.
They're serving eggs outdoors too. So anyway, Whitney's like,
so when we were talking about finances and bills,
well, we weren't talking about bells.
No, bills.
Bells.
Bills.
Bells. Why were we talking about bells?
No, bills. Like actual bills. Bills.
Oh, bills. You're actually saying it correctly this time. Got it. Continue. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, when I was like talking about bulls, and then he was like, don't have that conversation. And he goes, yeah, he shut you down, huh, Whit? And she goes, yeah, he shut me down. Like, is the therapist stirring the pot? Or is the therapist helping us?
Whitney, I think it's pretty standard in therapy for the therapist to be like, let's not concentrate on the money part.
Or like, actually, we're focusing on this part of the relationship and not that part. You know, like that's,
he's shutting me down. He's taking away my voice.
And Justin's like, my favorite thing is when we talk it through with other couples. Like, you know, like when we did Meredith and Seth's show the other day. And then we see a clip of Justin on the show. And he's like, yeah, you know, part of me going back to work is realizing that Whitney's going through her own trauma. And I can't help her with that.
But my trauma is carpool.
Very busy. I'm saying, very, very busy.
You can at least microwave a chicken finger.
I'm exhausted. So can somebody help her with that trauma? I think that trauma's 3 minutes on high. Not really.
Also,
sure.
Does anyone have a little wrist brace for her carpool syndrome?
No, carpool. Carpool.
Yeah, like I said, carpal tunnel syndrome.
No.
Stop shutting me down.
So then Whitney gets a text, and it's about her friend Sherry. So this is a good call. I want to make a callback to a recap a few weeks ago, where it was at the Prism event, and we see this woman Sherry, and she's on screen, and she gets a whole chyron and says Sherry. And on the podcast, I was like, why did we give this random woman a chyron and we don't even talk to her? It just says Sherry. And I was sort of joking. It just seems so random. Several people messaged me afterwards to say that Sherry had actually passed and that like maybe that was like a tribute or whatever. And so now this is sadly where we get into it. And so now Whitney, and by the way, I felt like a jackass after that too. Why did I show this person? So like that made me super sad and I felt really bad about it. But now Whitney gets a text about Sherry being intubated and, you know, like it's looking really bad. And we find out that Whitney has known Sherry for like 23 years and they were like really good friends. And we actually have a lot of footage of Sherry showing up at events and stuff. And, you know, Whitney's just like really sad. She's never had to deal with something like this before, her best friend dying of cancer. And it's making her see the bigger picture. And she basically tells Justin, like, look, like, you know, we both want to be in this. There's just bigger things to worry about. And they both agree that they're just going to keep fighting for their marriage.
Okay, so then we go to Lisa going to a restaurant and all red.
Not just any restaurant, Ronnie.
Toscana. Your favorite.
But it wasn't
Toscana time.
But it wasn't Cucina Toscana. It was just Toscana. And I wonder if they are related.
Maybe this is like their express.
Yeah.
It's like not the fancy version. It's like how Mozza has Mozza and they have Mozza Pizzeria.
Yeah.
And Mozza Pizzeria. They're like, this is just the casual one. So we still charge you $50 for a pizza, but you can wear more casual clothes.
I think that's exactly what it is. Like Cucina Toscana is like that's like the fancy version. And this is like the more suburban version that you can wear your jeans at, but still get charged the same amount of money for.
Yeah. So Lisa comes into the restaurant as she comes in anywhere. Hi, how are you? Love that. Love it here. Toscana, am I right? Who needs a cucina? Okay, great. Hope you got the Vita ready. Vita cocktail. Love that.
And Lisa is now wearing giant Angie K red sunglasses because they're just all following each other with a trend. So now more crazy sunglasses. And Meredith walks in. She's like, hey, how are you? I'm meeting someone here. And the hostess is like, is it the lady in red who is trying to serve a look at our suburban restaurant?
Yes, it is. That's her.
That would be her. Okay. Did you bring me churned butter? And she's like, I did.
So I start laughing over their butter. And then Harry Connick Jr. comes over to wait on them. What the hell?
Yeah.
Like, oh, it's for the way you look and me. It's like, Harry, you can sing with your outside voice, Hair. The other day I said, put on the Frank Sinatra station. I don't know why, because I was like leaning into needing reading glasses and me ordering beats for my blood pressure. So I was like, play Frankie. Every song was Harry Connick Jr. Who are you whispering to?
Yeah.
Pipe up, Louise. Come on. Sing out, Louise.
I'm so glad you're back with us. I thought we lost you in that canyon. He's like, oh, yeah, that was Independence Day. That was a movie. I'm alive and well. Don't worry about it. So the waiter is like, yeah, have any drinks in mind? And she's like, could I get the Vita Sunset, which you definitely have on your menu? And I definitely did not just like bring Vita ahead of time and tell you that you could like serve this to me. Thank you.
And Meredith's like, I'll have a Cabernet, which is a sign that this friendship is still not healed. Because when someone orders their own drink and you just blatantly are like, fuck your drink, I will take a no-name Cabernet. I don't even care. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Just but put it out of a box. Just please don't make it Vita.
Yeah, anything but Vita. And then they order food, and Meredith orders mussels and truffle fries, and it cuts to Lisa going, ah! I'm like, what? Why was that so funny?
I think because she ordered French fries with her mussels. I don't know what that was. But doesn't everybody?
Isn't that mole frites? I don't know, but Lisa was like very delighted by it. So then Meredith, Meredith has like a big, big gulp cup or something. One of those big plastic cups of.
They always drive around in this town with giant styrofoam cups from someplace. They're usually like, Lisa gets big gulp, actual big gulp ones. But I guess like Taco Bell, or I don't know what this one was, so I couldn't read it.
It was the supersized Gerber portion cup, actually. I just stole it from Brooksy.
And Lisa's like, wait a minute, what was in that cup? Because we know it was alcohol, right? Like everybody knows that was Meredith Rody. And she goes,
well, listen, you have your Diet Cokes and I have muscle cramps.
Is that what she said?
Yeah, she goes, well, I get very dehydrated and I get all sorts of muscle cramps. And I find the best way to deal with dehydration is to walk around with a giant cup of something and then get to a restaurant, order some wine, because nothing helps dehydration like wine.
So they start talking about her new earrings, because Meredith is about to have her jewelry show, and she's wearing on her Pac-Man earrings. It looks like a Pac-Man eating an M. And Lisa's like, oh my god, delicious. Amazing! I'm so excited about your event and all of your new pizzas, even though you wouldn't order a Vita Sunset, you fucking bitch!
Oh, thank you. And did you and Monica get to a place of peace? And Lisa goes, oh, I think so. I mean, I don't even know what the other show has. Like, it's frustrating to even have a conversation with her because like they don't go anywhere, and it's like, you're ugly, like fix your face, like get some Botox, get some filler. Like, I'm at a stage in my life where, like, you know, I just like can never talk like that to like another woman in my life, you know?
Yeah, you can't just keep attacking somebody and then expect them to sit there and take it all the time, you know? I mean, really, unless you're married to him. Am I right, John? there's so much low-hanging fruit around Monica, you know? Like, I could attack Monica if I want to. I could do that if I want to, but I'm not.
Which I think is interesting how she phrased that, because she's about to tell Meredith how disgusting it is for Meredith to suggest that she could attack somebody if she wanted to. Like, Lisa doesn't even have the self-awareness right to realize she's currently doing the same thing.
Right, and Meredith picks up on it right away. So Meredith goes, well, it's funny that you say that, because I do want to clear the air on something. I'm not upset or
that would
angry.
Be nice, because I did want to eat an egg. So,
well, I'm not upset. I just want to clear the air. The record button, that doesn't go on automatically. Can I just clear the air about that? No. Okay, well, that was it. The other thing I wanted to clear the air about, though, is I just want to understand what was said, because I was a little perplexed by it. Did you tell Angie that I had threatened her?
No, I didn't tell her that you threatened her. I told her that you said that she's lucky. What's the word? Whatever you said to me outside the restaurant about burning her house down, exposing all of her secrets. What was that?
And Meredith tells us, oh, am I? Oh, no. We see Meredith in the clip going, am I wanting to nasty and talk about her? The woman's the nastiness about her? You know why? You want me to go there?
So, Meredith's like, well, that's what I saw, and I wanted to check in only because it's very interesting. Some of the wording that you just said to me regarding Manica, that's what made me think of it right now, was very similar to the message.
Okay, I'm with you. I'm listening. Okay. I'm listening to it right now. Right. Go ahead. Keep
Hold
talking.
On. I'm
listening.
Getting a hand cramp from listening. Dehydration. Mm-hmm. Hold on.
I'm listening.
Okay, I'm back. I'm back.
Okay, go ahead.
Listen, there's a lot of stuff out there about everybody. Right. Angie was accusing me of threatening her.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I didn't say it was the same thing. I didn't. You know what? The whole thing with Angie, like, I don't even like, you know what? I don't even like you saying, like, you want me to, like, say what I know about her husband? Do you know what I mean? Because, like, I don't want anyone to say that about you. It's disgusting. I don't like it. It feels icky. I don't want to be around that anymore. I just don't. Shing! Oh, did you bring my muscles?
I was giving a dramatic sound effect for you, ma'am. Shing.
Thank you, Harry. You're so handsome. Like,
yeah, I was originally auditioning to be the person who would do it in the transitions for Top Chef when we go to commercial. Shing. But they went in a different direction. So Meredith recoils. Meredith is like, and she goes, well, I'm really disappointed because Lisa and I have agreed to discuss issues as they came up. So I don't know what's going on here. It's definitely unsettling and it doesn't feel good. And it's not what we agree on, whatever.
So Lisa has decided her way out of everything is just to go with modern language, just to say she's triggered. Because apparently, if somebody is triggered, you are not allowed to argue with them. She's just learning that. And I think that it's from being around Monica. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, okay, this person's triggered. Now I have to fucking apologize because they're fucking triggered. Because now the rest of the episode, every time she gets in trouble, she goes, you know what? That's very triggering for me. So Meredith is like, well, I'm sorry that it's triggering, but what I'm not gonna do is have this hypocritical conversation.
What you're telling me is what's going on with Monica is that she's playing victim to your reaction to her being bad behavior. Is that correct?
That was a really long sentence. I'm not really sure.
Can you do that one from the top again? I'm not sure I followed that.
Yeah, that was a lot.
Can we get Harry Connick Jr. back here?
What I'm saying is, okay, she had bad behavior. You reacted badly. You reacted one way, and then she's playing the victim to it. So you're playing she's playing the victim to your reaction to her bad behavior.
Can you do that one more time? Just like a lot of concepts all at once. Thanks.
So I'm in trouble for my reaction to her bad behavior. That was manipulation and gaslighting.
And Lisa's like, oh, wait a minute. She had an issue with Angie because Angie said she'd never be friends with someone like you. And then you took it up 8 levels and you said you know things about her husband and her family and her business. And it's just not the same. Monica's being a bitch. You're being deceptive.
It's not. Lisa has a little bit of a warped view on that one because Angie crashed Meredith's party, which, by the way, she should have been there because she's a cast member. So, like, there was that too. But Angie had just started up with Meredith at the table. Meredith was wasted. And Angie had started coming for Meredith. So, Meredith was pissed. That being said, I do think that there is a subtle difference in being like, yeah, you want to talk about the husband, you want to hear about the husband. You're basically implying like cheating on national TV versus saying like, ugh, like Monica, she's always, I could go after her about a million things. There is like a tonal difference, but not a huge one, not a huge one.
I mean, she was kind of threatening her, but I think if she threatened her to her face, that would be one thing. But the only reason this became a big deal is because Lisa ran and told everybody that Meredith is threatening you. So, you know, Lisa really doesn't have a leg to stand on here because Meredith should be able to bitch to her friend and say, oh, really? Does she want me bringing up all the stuff about you? So what?
Yeah, you should be.
You should be allowed to do that.
Although Whitney also spread it around, because remember Meredith also went up to Whitney. I was like, you want to hear? Oh, look at her going to Hudson News at the airport. Well, I got some news for you, and it goes way beyond Hudson. Yes. It's about the husband, but I'm not going to say it.
Whitney did it. Whitney was the original one who was like, I'm going to get Meredith. For sure. But Lisa isn't really helping, right? And then behind Meredith's back, she's like, yeah, but she was like saying all this stuff she could do to you if so and so. Whatever. We're going in circles. But guess what? That is talking about Real Housewives.
Okay. It's great circles. Love the circle.
So, circle of life. So Lisa's like, okay, you know what? Let's just... there's nothing out there about her, though, and you're threatening that to say stuff about her, but there's nothing out about her. And Meredith goes, well, there is stuff out there about her that's not true, probably, but there is. I've been sent stuff. People named me have been sent stuff. My Twitter DMs have been sent stuff. Seth has been sent stuff through my phone. So...
Yeah, but I just think that, like, even saying it is, like, as bad, because it, like, leads people's mind to wander. I'm like, says Lisa, who went behind a closed door seemingly conveniently and then started spewing all sorts of stuff about Meredith. Like, let's not forget where this problem really began, okay?
So Meredith's basically like, listen, there's something out there about all of us. It doesn't make it true. And she goes, yeah, but it doesn't make it okay to threaten it either. And she goes, you can't use the word threat. By definition, it's wrong. So by saying I would never do that, that was the part that you're missing. I would never do that.
Yeah, but you're going off intention. You're going off intention. And Meredith goes, but that's not my intention. Don't you remember I said I could threaten, but I won't, which makes it a reverse threat and almost makes it a hug if you really think about it.
But you know what? That's why I pumped the brakes on our friendship. Because I was, like, so uncomfortable with that.
What you want?
Pump the brakes. Yeah, you know, when our friendship, we were in a car, and then I was like, bump! I pumped the brakes.
You then? When did you pump the brakes?
There were pumps.
That you would even say that after I nearly lost my life when our car pumped its brakes and we wound up in a 3-inch snowbank. It's just horrifying. Horrifying.
I can't be dead. Okay, I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm sorry, but you know, I don't know if you noticed, but I pumped the brake.
I didn't. Like, you literally have texted me 5 times a day.
But they were pumped. So, I just want you to know I'm not supporting anyone in this fight.
Okay, let me make this clear. I'm not the one bringing a tornado, though.
What?
Huh? The fuck are you talking about?
sounds like Lisa really opened up a book of worms there. So Meredith's like, well, so did you pump the brakes with Angie too then? And she's like, no, I didn't pump the... Lisa, this is when you lie. Say, yes, of course I did. She's like, no, I didn't pump the brakes with Angie. She goes, oh, so you're fine with the way she treats me. But my reaction, which, by the way, don't forget, was the product of monopolization. You're fine with that. She goes, no, I'm not fine with the way she treats you. I just didn't pump the brakes on her because she has a nice house. So
last time I pumped the brakes on you, you ended up going up into a snowbank. So I learned my lesson. You know, we took an Uber.
Well, I wasn't going to pump the brakes on her because she lent me the sunglasses. And they're really cute.
We didn't splat to Sunglass Hut. So anyway, and she's like, oh, really? Well, I'm not bringing a tornado. And I don't even need to because guess what?
Karma comes back. And karma takes care of people. It does.
Like, okay, is that a threat? Why does everything you're saying sound like a threat?
Can we have the check, please? Bring me the check. I dare you to bring me the check.
It's for the way you look.
Is Harry Connick Jr. in a small tornado right now?
Well, I didn't bring it.
I did not bring that.
I didn't bring it because I know karma brings... It's going to be a karma tornado coming back. So I don't have to bring a tornado because it's going to come. It's going to be someone's karma.
So then Lisa starts nervously pulling her hair and probably gets pizza all over it. Does Lisa ever go home where she's not covered in food from eating with, like, her eating handy type things and then rubbing her hands in her hair?
I love that. Hey, y'all, that's it for part one of this recap. We will be back with part two. Keep an eye and an ear out on your podcast feed. It will be up very shortly. Thanks for listening. Catch you on the second half.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
Strolling the Park with Caitlin Clark.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela.
Itchels.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
She's never scary, it's the Green Fairy.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Know Your Worth with Jason Kurth.
She's the wind beneath our Jennifer Wing.
Sip Some Scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's always supplying, it's Kelly Ryan.
Kristen the Piston Anderson. Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino. Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
The Bay Area Betches. Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's Get Real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Don't Get Salty with Christine Pepper. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
She's not harsh, she's Jill Hirsch.
She's a little bit loony, Junie. My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo. We love him madly, it's Kyle Pod Chadley.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender. We want to hang with Liz Lang. The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony. Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She's quite the catch, it's Victoria Kotchett.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Watch What Crappens ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.